Hey friend, and welcome back to the Alex Makes VR podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about recontextualizing what success means to you. It's very reminiscent of episode number one of this podcast, where we talked about creating a vision for your life, redefining what a successful, happy, fulfilling life looks like. It's kind of that, but we're going granular. I want to give you an example of how you can recontextualize success on your journey to creating a life or a business that you love. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to say thank you so, so much to every single person that reached out after last week's episode. If you didn't listen to that, I was talking about the real reason I was taking a break from the podcast. And spoiler alert, it was my own ridiculously high standards and perfectionism creeping in, backing myself into a corner, deciding that it wasn't worth doing unless it was at this ridiculous level that was completely subjective and no one cared about apart from me. And it meant the world that so many of you connected with that message and so many people reached out to say, hey, I needed to hear this today, that actually perfectionism is a falsity and sometimes you have to shake yourself, you have to take a break, you have to take a step away and look at the big picture and go, oh, okay, yeah, I'm doing that thing again where I'm self-sabotaging because I'm holding myself to unrealistic expectations and standards that, again, no one is holding you to. No one really cares apart from you. And that's not a bad thing. I don't mean that in a slanderous way. I don't mean that in a, no one cares about your art, man. I just mean in the way that people will love what you do if you are true to yourself and you just put stuff out. Don't let perfectionism be your enemy. Anyway, listen to that episode if you haven't already. But thank you to everyone who did listen to that episode and reach out afterwards. If you want to reach out to me, I love to hear from you. It's Alex Makes VR on all of the social medias and it's alexmakesvr@gmail.com if you want to reach out to me about anything really. But also don't forget that I'm now offering one-on-one coaching and consultancy for people that want to be held accountable to make massive progress with their individual projects or with their career in general. I've been there, I've done that, I've got 12 t-shirts. I'm now sharing that experience with you guys. And so far, the people that I'm coaching, it has been an absolute joy. I'm seeing people make such massive strides already, and we've only really been running this for the last couple of months. So if you fancy joining me, it is a financial commitment because girls gotta eat, but also research suggests that if you pay for something, you are more likely to follow through with it. And I genuinely believe that I will make you a return on your investment. I would not offer this if I did not think it was worth the money. So if you want to hear more about that, or if you think that might be suitable for you, you can get in touch. It's alexmakesvr@gmail.com. Okay, so let's talk about success, shall we? Like I say, go back to episode one if you haven't listened to that episode. I talk about creating a vision for your life instead of just going on what society is telling you success looks like. Really look inside and think about what success means to you and what a life, a successful career or business life looks like for you. For some people, that is all of the superficial stuff that comes along with having notoriety, for having big projects in big fancy places, but they probably work ridiculous hours. They spend time funding a lot of their projects to begin with through other means. They're constantly on the grind. You know, success for other people might look like having a locationless based business, a business that allows them to travel the world, work from a beach, work from, I don't know, anywhere, having that freedom. Some people's version of success is having enough money to only be able to only have to work like half a day a week because the rest of the time they want to spend it, you know, doing their passion projects, and they don't want the burden of having to try and monetize those passions. Maybe it's about spending lots of time with your friends and family. Maybe success looks like, you know, having passive income long term. Maybe it looks like being able to offer things for free because that's your passion, what you're passionate about, and you want to be able to have a sustainable income behind you to be able to do that. There's so many different versions of what success looks like, and those are just the kind of like very lofty, big picture kind of general visions. Obviously, you can get really super specific about what would a day in your life look like if it was perfect, if money was no issue, if you had everything that you dreamed of, what would that day actually look like? And sometimes it can take doing an exercise like that, doing an exercise like visualizing that life, to really realize that some of those superficial materialistic things, that external validation chasing of things like, you know, making projects for the views and the likes on Instagram, or the laurels on the film poster or whatever. Sometimes it can take looking inside and looking at what that day looks like to realize that those external goals aren't necessarily the ones that you want driving your career or business choices. I know that that has been the case for me. I've gone through periods of my career where I've chased the external success, like the status of a certain kind of caliber of person. And even though I have, you know, I'm not suggesting that I've in any way achieved that to any extraordinary level, but even just having a slight taste of what it was like to achieve some of those big status bucket list items, like doing a TEDx talk, or, you know, like going to the Cannes Film Festival with a piece, like all sorts of stuff. CanXR, should I say, because I know people get picky around the fact that it's not actually technically the festival. I know, it's the immersive arm. But anyway, you know, all of these things that on paper I thought I wanted, and then, you know, switching very much and going, actually, I'm burned out and these goals don't make this unsustainable lifestyle worth it. As much as it was fun doing those things and I'm proud of myself for having achieved them, at the same time, that lifestyle for me was not the one. The outcomes might have been quite nice, but the life that I was living day to day in order to achieve those things ultimately were making me miserable. So then I kind of like went down the route of like, oh, well, what would, you know, this kind of passive income life look like? Maybe that would be interesting. And actually, I very quickly realized, not that I particularly pursued that to any great extent, but, you know, I started investing in things, and I've talked previously on podcasts about getting into cryptocurrencies and getting into the stock market and all that sort of stuff, educating myself around financial assets, creating a little bit of that elusive passive income, aka where your money just makes you money. And I realized that I was living such a boring existence. Like, I hated being bored and not having anything to do and not being tied to anyone, not being accountable to anyone. So now I'm in this kind of area of my career now where I'm kind of, as you know, I'm kind of pivoting into this realm of like, well, actually, I want to be more locationless and have a bit more freedom so that when the world opens up again, I can do a bit more traveling and live wherever. But I want to have a business that is, you know, people focused. I want to help people. I want to help, whether that is a corporation that is trying to understand and launch immersive tech projects, or it's the, you know, the up and coming creator that wants to understand how they too can quit their job and pursue a career in this crazy industry. I want to be working with people, but also have a life that allows me to kind of go anywhere rather than being locked into the UK, and more specifically, it generally is London, for long months at a time because I'm working on a very specific location-based project. That's just me personally. Those are examples of my kind of thought process. And this is the thing, it changes. Hence why this episode is all about recontextualizing success. It's okay to change your mind. At one point of my life, I absolutely loved working 18 hours a day and hopping on a train. I remember I was saying this to a friend recently because I was having a bit of like a, oh my God, why do I feel so unfulfilled and like I'm staring into the void? And she was like, well, Alex, last year you literally called me saying, I've just come from a shoot first thing. I was hungover because I'd been to this award ceremony the night before and got drunk. And I've now had to leave my kit at this random place in London because I'm now running to catch the Eurostar to catch up with a friend who I was doing a project with in Belgium. It was like, that was my life. It was wild. It was crazy. It was exciting. And I loved that for a long period of time. But then after a while, like I say, the burnout sets in, it becomes unsustainable. You're not looking after yourself because you're just constantly on the go. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts. I'm not saying that there will never be a time in my life that I don't chase that stuff ever again. I probably will. But for this point in my life now, what I'm trying to do is visualize what a day looks like where I absolutely love my life in, let's say, 2 years' time. And that life very much looks like being a little bit more location free, aka being somewhere else in the world, but still getting to do what I love and having enough money to sustain myself. So it's all about looking inside, looking about where you are in your life, maybe have that big picture kind of goal, but also understand that you might be in a very different place in your life when you kind of ultimately get there and you decide, actually, this version of success doesn't fit me with the person that I am right now. So I'm going to change that. And that's okay. It's okay to recontextualize. Another small thing that I've really been it's not small, but something that I've been picking up on recently is about looking at those little signs that some people might not necessarily pay attention to as a as a kind of token of your success, looking for things in your day-to-day life that you are already on the right path, that you are already living a successful life compared to the majority of the world. Here's an example. I went to the supermarket recently and my nephew is suffering with intolerances, bless him. He's 15 months, he was premature, and he's had a really rough start in life. He was born just before COVID. He actually got COVID as a premature baby. We weren't sure whether he was going to survive or not. He did. Now he's a little rascal and is just the most crazy, energetic, excitable kid. But he's got all these intolerances. So I went to the supermarket because I wanted to try and help my brother and sister-in-law out by trying to find some things, some quick and easy foods that he could enjoy that wouldn't kind of make him react. And, you know, just trying to do my bit to support my family during something that's quite difficult. And I went to the supermarket and I went to this huge Sainsbury's, which for those of you living abroad, Sainsbury's is like, it's not like a super, super high, classy, expensive shop, but it's also not your bargain shop. It's not your Aldi or your Lidl's or your Walmart's, or I can't think of any other examples, but it's not like, it's kind of like a middle ground. It's like quite a nice shop. It's got loads of variety. What I'm saying is it's not the cheapest shop in the world. And I went in there and I spent a good 15 minutes like going around all the different aisles and just picking up anything that I kind of, you know, that I read the label on and that seemed it would be appropriate for a kid who has intolerances. And I was filling the basket and I went to the checkout and I was in my own head because I was listening to a podcast at the time. So I was just kind of in my own little world. And I left and I kind of got in my car and all of a sudden it hit me that I have the kind of success that allows me to go to a fairly nice supermarket and not even worry about looking at the prices of anything. That, for me, is such a huge mark of success. And if I told that to someone, if I kind of said, oh, my definition of success is being able to go to the supermarket randomly on a Tuesday afternoon because I work for myself and I can do what I want and buying whatever it is that I wanted, not for me, but to help my family out without even looking at the prices, without even flinching at what the bill was when it all kind of was tallied up. And I just kind of went about my day. How wild that would sound to someone else. That might sound ridiculous to someone else, but to me, that is absolutely huge. I think back to when I was when I first got back from Canada in late 2015, early 2016. I moved back to my university city, Leeds, in the UK. And at the time, I was in so much credit card debt, and I was just like just earning nothing, that I lived in this tiny little crappy studio flat. Horrible, horrible place. It was basically a converted bedroom where they just kind of stuck a hob and a sink and a bathroom into one room. And they were like, there you go, studio flat. And I remember going to bed at night in layers. I think I might have talked about this before on a previous podcast, but I used to go to bed in layers of clothing because I was so scared about spending an extra £10 on my energy bill because I just couldn't afford it at the time. I was so conservative and was so fretting about where the kind of next money was coming from that I would go to bed in, like, you know, two t-shirts, two jumpers, a dressing gown and a hat, just because I couldn't afford to necessarily top up my heating. And now I live the kind of life where I can go to a fancy ass supermarket and just buy whatever I want without even flinching. That to me is one of the biggest things that I am proud of. That is one of the biggest markers of my success. That is one of the biggest things that I would tell someone to aspire to if they currently aren't in a position where they go to a supermarket and don't worry what the bill is. Do you know what I mean? It's not all about chasing the private jet, the fancy ass house, like the nice car. It's not about that. Let's look at these things that will actually be life-changing for us. Do you know how nice it is to not have to worry anymore about what the energy bill's going to be or how much stuff costs at the grocery store or being able to pick up the tab when I go out for meals with my friends? Like, that feels so good. That to me is better than any superficial success. So when we talk about and by the way, I just want to say, I'm not saying all this stuff to kind of brag at all. I'm not saying any of this to be like, look at me. I'm saying that these are the things that we need to be talking about. These are the things that we need to be aspiring to. When someone is starting out on their entrepreneurial journey, I want to hear people talk about that. I want to hear people say, do you know what my version of success is? At the moment, I'm in debt. I can barely, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck. I can barely pay my bills. I have to really worry about when I put the heating on, how much electric I'm using. I have to shop at all the cheapest places and I compare prices on everything and I'm like constantly fretting about the stuff. My version of success would be being able to go to the fanciest supermarket and get the finest cuts of meat and not even care about how much they weighed and how much they cost. My version of sex success, my version of sex, that would be a very different podcast. My version of success is being able to take my parents out for a meal and treat them to whatever they want, you know, starters, mains, desserts. I want to be able to take my family on trips. Like, obviously, that's when we start to get a little bit kind of like more ambitious. But, you know, starting small, it would be nice to be able to actually go out for a meal once a week and not have to worry about what that bill's going to cost. It would be nice to take a friend out or like have friends over and have a takeaway and being able to pay for that. All of these little things that actually, this is where we can start to kind of like lay the groundwork and look at what success looks like. Success doesn't always have to look like the 10 zeros in the bank account or whatever it is that you are currently picturing success as. I'm going to stop now because I have ranted for a good 20 minutes on this subject. But I really hope that I've gotten my point across there. And I hope that this episode has maybe made you think about recontextualizing some of the things in your life that you would define as successful. And if you are in a place where you don't look at the grocery prices or you do get to treat your friends and family and yourself every week to whatever you want because you have enough disposable income to do that, take a second to reflect and say, hells yeah, I worked really hard to get to this place and I'm proud of myself. And this is what success looks like. Because that's the thing, isn't it? We always compare up. We always look to the people who have more than us, to the people who live a more luxurious lifestyle compared to us. We look for the people that have more followers, more laurels, more a higher valuation, etc., etc. But actually, what we need to sometimes do is have a look at ourselves. Where did we come from? Because my version at 30, my version of myself when I was 24, I'm a huge success compared to that person. Holy crap. If that person that I was back then, even just 6 years ago, could see me now, she would be so excited. But the joke is, my 24-year-old self's version of success was exactly what I'm describing. That super high flying, private jet wheeling, you know, mansion owning influencer. And the truth is that now I'm a little bit older, I'm a little bit wiser, and I've lived a little bit more life since then. I can hand on heart say that I feel successful as I am. If I never accrued any more wealth, if I accrued nothing else materialistically, if I had no more artificial status success, I would hand on heart say I still feel like I am a success because of these small wins. So have a think about that. Have a think about applying that to your own life. Have a think about how you define success and how can you find those small wins that you have already made and be proud of yourself for them. That felt good, guys. It's good to be back. Anyway, that's it from me this week. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would screenshot wherever you're listening to this and share it on your social media. Absolutely loved seeing people tag me last week. Shout out to Suzanne, who tagged me with a quote that I had totally forgotten I'd even said in that episode, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And shout out to everyone who replied, let me know their feedback. I always love to hear from you. So again, if you want to reach out to me, it's Alex Makes VR on all of the social medias. And if you're interested in coaching with me or doing one-off consultancy, let's have a chat. Let's see whether this is a good fit. Let me see if I can help you with my experience and expertise. Reach out to me. It's alexmakesvr@gmail.com. All right, my friends, have a great day wherever you are in the world. Go recontextualize that success. And I will see you or speak to you in the next one.